From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, October 30th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, presenting Gardens Aglow, where visitors will see the gardens in a whole new light. Tickets available at mainegardens.org. And Douglas Ridge, a new 280-acre eco-conservation subdivision in Brunswick, committed to net zero home design. More at douglasridge.com.
Maine's campaign finance regulators today voted to fine Democratic House Speaker Sarah Gideon's now dissolved Political Action Committee for contributions made in her name 3 years ago. But as Steve Missler reports, the Maine Ethics Commission declined to investigate the matter further.
The commission fined Gideon's PAC $500 for violating a law designed to prevent donations from being made in the name of another person. The three commissioners said that Gideon's violation was not designed to deceive the public because it was clear that Gideon intended to report the reimbursements from her PAC, a ruling aligning with findings by the commission's staff. But Republican activists were quick to highlight the commission's ruling because Gideon is one of three Democrats vying to take on Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins next year. The donations are also part of complaints filed with the Federal Elections Commission, although it's unclear when that matter will be adjudicated because the FEC board doesn't have enough members for a quorum. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
A new report by the Maine Center for Disease Control shows about half of the public water supplies that it tested contained PFAS chemicals. The CDC paid for testing of 19 public water supplies that are near potential sources of PFAS contamination, including airports, landfills, paper mills, or sludge spreading operations. The results were turned over to the governor's PFAS task force yesterday. 17 others refused the testing, including 5 schools and a daycare center. Mike Beliveau is the executive director of the Environmental Health Strategy Center in Portland and a member of the task force. He says it's not clear why.
Ask those schools and a daycare center in 3 towns who were offered free testing for these chemicals by the state. And we think they do a great disservice to their consumers and show a disregard for our children's health.
In a statement, the Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention says it has recommended to the task force that monitoring for PFAS becomes mandatory for all community water systems. Water systems in Lisbon Falls, Topsom, Georgetown, Arundel, Livermore Falls, Sanford, Mexico, and Fayette tested positive for PFAS chemicals. And fewer people are expected to sign up for 2020 personal health insurance policies under the Affordable Care Act. But today's Portland Press Herald reports that will largely be the result of Maine's expansion of Medicaid eligibility, under which several thousand Mainers who currently have ACA policies will be automatically switched to MaineCare. In weather tonight, we'll have some fog and showers with lows in the mid-40s to mid-50s. Maine's two U.S. representatives, who are both Democrats, say they will support the proposed House rules for the next phase of the impeachment process. Mal Leary has details.
Both Shelley Pingree and Jared Golden say the rules are fair. They establish the process that will govern public hearings on the president's activities, the questioning of witnesses, the use of subpoenas, and the release of transcripts of the private interviews that have already been conducted. And says Pingree, the rules also establish when the president would be allowed legal representation.
We didn't have to do this, but it's been a response to the Republicans' concerns that they want to see more of a process. What I think is important is by passing this and setting out a process, it keeps the Republicans from continually talking about the process as opposed to the substance of why was the president doing this and was it appropriate.
Some of the testimony to the committees, including accounts of the president's alleged use of military aid to push Ukraine to investigate political rival Joe Biden, have already gone public. Republicans in Congress are critical of the proposed rules, which they say fail to provide due process for the president to respond to allegations. Golden rejects that argument and says the rules offer
more protections to the president than either President Bill Clinton or President Richard Nixon received when they had an impeachment inquiry going on that ultimately led to their impeachment.
The first public hearings under the rules are expected within a few weeks. If the full House votes for any articles of impeachment, the Senate will hold a trial. It will take the vote of 67 senators to find the president guilty and remove him from office. Both Pingree and Golden stress they have not decided how they will vote. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Maine's fledgling hemp industry has been anxiously awaiting regulatory guidance from the federal government, and now the USDA has issued some temporary rules. But as Jennifer Mitchell reports, some of that initial guidance is raising new questions for both growers and state regulators.
The draft rules outline the steps that individuals, states, and native tribes must follow to grow hemp in compliance with federal law.
So as I read through the 161 pages, I certainly see some things that may require us to make some changes with our program.
Gary Fish oversees the state of Maine's hemp program, which licenses and monitors the more than 170 farmers licensed to grow industrial hemp, most of that destined to supply the cannabidiol or CBD trade.
And right now, what we're looking at doing is to prepare some comments that will go into the U.S. Department of Agriculture to hopefully help them make amendments if need be to help the states manage their programs better.
The Maine Department of Agriculture is declining to be more specific about the potential compliance problems created by the new federal rules. But some in the state's hemp industry are raising concerns.
If we emulate these rules word for word and if they're accepted as is, I foresee a bottleneck in testing.
Erica Haywood is managing member of Love Grown Agricultural Research in Farmington, which grows hemp. Haywood says she's still poring over the document, but the section on cannabis testing immediately jumped out.
The rules seem to require that a DEA permit would be on the agenda for any laboratory offering certification testing services for hemp.
Haywood says as it is, there are relatively few labs across the country that specialize in cannabis certification, and even fewer that are registered with the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration. But testing is critical to the hemp industry.
Because in the event that you have a sample that has over 0.3% THC, you are now in possession of a Schedule I substance.
Nick DeLaurier of Proverde Laboratories, which has an office in Portland, says under Maine's existing hemp rules, any hemp samples that test over the legal limit for THC, the psychoactive substance in marijuana, must be destroyed in a manner approved by the department. But he says it's not clear how the new federal DEA certification will affect labs that might also have high THC marijuana coming legally through the door.
We do a lot of testing for consumers as well, folks who want to know, you know, that they're getting what they paid for and it's safe to consume. This would prohibit us from doing those types of testing. So we're taking a deeper dive into how we can meet those DEA registered requirements while not shutting ourselves out essentially from all of the other folks who depend on us for analytics.
A bigger problem, however, says DeLaurier, is that the USDA has neglected to define dry weight as it pertains to THC content.
Why that's significant is cannabinoids are given as percent by weight. So the more moisture you remove, the more relative percentage of cannabinoid that you're going to find because you're taking out other weight. So the more moisture you take out, the more your cannabinoid numbers will inflate.
In other words, cannabinoids and THC levels will all likely test higher in a plant that has more of its moisture removed. The state has been directing test labs to use a standard of 8 to 12% moisture. Any lower than that, and producers say the product has little to no commercial value. The interim final rule becomes effective upon publication in the Federal Register, expected sometime this week. The USDA will then open a public comment period for 60 days and will craft a final rule in the next 2 years. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a look at Maine's spiritualists, mediums, and psychics. I'm Nora Flaherty.